Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. My name is Glenn Greenidge, and I'm one of the hosts here on a weekly basis. Henrietta is another host. Welcome, Henrietta.
Thank you, Glenn. Good evening.
Henrietta is out of Chi-Town. Which is, for those of you who don't know, that's the windy city of Chicago.
Yes, right. And just for those who don't know that the Bears just won unmercifully, just beat San Diego so well today. I just thought that you might need to know that.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. And so we've got a special guest tonight. Louise Pop is going to be coming on the show in a little bit, and she's going to be talking to us specifically about cancer and some of the statistics around the research and development that's going on. She comes from the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, and she's going to address us with some specific things. We're featuring cancer this entire month, so we're going to continue that. Henrietta is going to give us a little brief recap about one of some of the things that we've covered. But before we do that, Henrietta, would you give us the declaration? This is normally how we start out the conversation for the International Black Summit with the International Black Summit Declaration. Henrietta?
Thanks, Glenn. This is the declaration of the International Black Summit, and we read it before every show, but if we were in a meeting, we would recite it together holding hands. We listen to see where we are in this declaration, so we invite you to listen and see what speaks to you in the Declaration of the International Black Summit. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our communities, all communities, whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economy responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. October 7, 1991, Atlanta, Georgia, Chicago, Illinois, November 20th, 2011, north, south, east, west, above, below, within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Back to you, Glenn.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Henrietta. Jerry, welcome to the show, Jerry. Jerry, you out there? We see you on the line there, brother.
Okay. Yeah.
How you doing, brother?
All right. I'm fine. I'm doing good.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, how you feel?
Good.
So Jerry has been created a ritual for us, which is called the Kwanzaa Principle. So what will be the Kwanzaa Principle that we'll be focusing in on tonight's show, Jerry?
Okay, the principle of this that I picked tonight is Nia. It means purpose. Corinthians purpose, it means to make our collective vocation the and development of our community in order to restore our people to traditional greatness.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Thank you, my brother.
No problem.
And so I want to also present the purpose of the International Black Summit. The purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision of the black community and the world. So it's with that purpose that we are meeting tonight on this call. It's with that purpose that we get together every Sunday. We also have some other events. Let's see. I think this is Jill out there, as soon as her mic clears. Let's see. We have different events and activities that take place. Jill, is that you, 404-964?
Yes, how are you?
Great. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Welcome. Any announcements that you'd like to make for us?
Well, just want to just remind people about, you'll hear more about it in regards to our annual event. I know that it's in August, however, time goes by very fast, and we look forward to having you all share and be a part of the annual event, which will be in Alabama this year. So more information will be available, and you'll hear more about it in the Oxygen Room as well. Back to you, Glenn.
Great, great. Thank you, Jill. And Jill's coming to you live out of Hotlanta. All right. So, as you can tell, we're all over the country, and we do have some folks that call in from Japan and Kenya, and some of the other parts of the scope from where the International Black Summit reaches. So, I just want to include you in that conversation, include you in the uplifting and empowerment of our community, and that's what we're here to discuss. And so I'm actually, Henrietta, would you just give us a general synopsis of some of the things that we've covered, since we've been covering cancer this entire month? Would you just give us a little update on some of the things that we've talked about as it pertains to cancer in our community?
Okay. Once again, good evening, everyone. We've had a really wonderful month. I think more than cancer awareness, we've been talking about survivor awareness. You know, we've been talking to people who have survived. One of our special guests was a lady named Hall, and I hope she gets a chance to call in tonight. But she talked about surviving cancer. She talked about once she got the diagnosis. She talked about how her attitude allowed her, you know, she just decided when they told her that she, you know, when they gave her the diagnosis, that she wasn't going to have it. You know, she just made a decision that was not the truth about her. And she decided that she would beat it. And she said, she's going to beat it. And that was her attitude. And she, you know, she went through with the treatment. She had, they wanted her to have both breasts removed. She only had one because her eyesight, there was no reason. If nothing was in the other one. So she had a really great story that she shared with us. She changed her diet. She was underweight So in order to have the surgery, she had to begin to eat right so she would gain weight. And so she started eating healthy foods and so she could gain weight so that she could have the surgery. And if you get a chance to go back, because, you know, our shows are archived, so the first two Sundays in the month of November, you'll be able to hear her story. But we talked about the diagnosis. We talked about the diet. We talked about her mindset, you know, like her spiritual approach to the treatments. We also talked about her support system and how her family, how she dealt with her family and everything. So really good interview with Karen Hall. So if you get a chance to listen, you know, to those archive shows. But those are basically the things that we talked about. Support systems, the diet, the alternative treatments, the medical treatments, and how to handle the diagnosis. Glenn?
Excellent. And I just want to underline something. I'm reading this book called The China Study, and that book talks specifically about cancer and talks about how diet can directly impact the reduction and not quite remission, but certainly taking the whole reaction of cancer out of your system using diet. And it talks specifically about reducing the animal protein and animal fat in your diet as one of the biggest factors for growing the cancer. So there's certainly something to look at. Also, you know, as Henrietta talked about, the mindset. You know, I was reminded of, we just had the anniversary of Magic Johnson, and when he declared he had AIDS, and he had a similar conversation, was that he was not going to be defeated by it. And so our guest Karen is also of that mindset. And so that mindset works. That mindset does make a difference. And we're here to discuss that and talk about those kinds of things as alternatives. Again, we're not doctors, but we're bringing you some information for some of the people. And tonight our guest is Louise Popp, and she is the deputy director for the New England Leukemia Lymphoma Society. Louise, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Glenn. Glad to be here.
Yeah. And Louise offered to really, there's a little chatter in the background here. There's what Louise is going to bring is she's going to bring some conversations around the research, and so I'm going to jump in there and ask you the first question, Louise. What impact does research have in the fight against cancer? So tell us a little bit about the impact of research and what that does for.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Louise.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me okay, Glenn? Can you hear me okay, Glenn?
Yes, we can hear you now. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So as Glenn mentioned, I'm with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, so I'm probably going to focus on blood cancers a little bit more, but a lot of what I'm talking about tonight also relates to a lot of different types of cancers that are out there. So when our organization was first founded in 1949, almost anyone that was diagnosed with a blood cancer, it was almost always fatal. Since that time, survival rates have doubled, tripled, and even in some cases have quadrupled. And it's really because of the research that has been done over the past 40, 50 years. And research has made such a difference We have chemotherapy now. We have radiation therapy. We have oral chemotherapy. People are being able to be treated on an outpatient basis instead of having to be in the hospital for several weeks at a time. And just to give you a couple of examples to bring it home, there was a drug called Gleevec that was that came out in, was FDA approved in 2001. Before that time, folks that were diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia, 1 in 10 people survived. This drug came out and now 9 in 10 people are surviving the diagnosis of what we call CML. This is huge. This is a huge transformation over these years, and it's because of all the years and the money that has been invested in research. And now that this drug is being used not only for CML patients, but is being used to treat other rare skin cancers and stomach tumors, and they're looking at it as a cure for other types of cancers as well. So a lot of what we're doing is very far-reaching. So the impact just, it goes into other cancers as well as even outside of cancer into other chronic illnesses. And another example would be Velcade, and that treats myeloma. And myeloma, the survival, was less than 3 years upon diagnosis. And then in 2008, the drug Velcade came out on the market. And now people are living about 3 times longer using Velcade, and also their quality of life has improved dramatically. So they used to have very toxic effects of a lot of the treatments for cancer right now, which is something that we're focusing on as an organization, because as Henrietta talked about, a lot more people are surviving cancer, so the survivorship continuum is a lot longer. And so you may not be focusing on the effects for a year. Now we're talking about focusing on the effects for many, many years. So the less toxic we can make our drugs, the better they're going to be for patients in the long term. So those are just a couple of examples of some things that we're doing. And we're also trying to, we have a program called TAP, which is Therapy Acceleration. A lot of researchers will conduct research and then it just sits there and nothing is done with it. And so we've been able to take a look at some promising studies in blood cancers and have been able to invest money to push them through the pipeline to get them out so that more patients have an opportunity to participate in clinical trials and survive cancer. So did that answer your question okay?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Let me just, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're coming to you every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our dial-in number is 646-716-9827. We've got some folks in the chat room. If you'd like to come in and ask some questions, please feel free. We're also taking questions from the chat room as well. Now, you said quite a bit. So overall, the research is being able to prolong people's lives, and certainly and the diagnosis of it is becoming quicker, so that we've got a better chance medically of surviving cancers, which we weren't able to do. Give us a little idea, Louise, about what are the gains in the last 10 years from cancer research, for example.
Well, I think the gains have really been, a big shift has been in chemotherapy. Gone from inpatient chemotherapy with a drip where people were in the hospital for days or weeks. I think one of the biggest advances has been in the oral chemotherapies. So now a lot of cancers are being treated with a pill, which is great for patients because there are a lot less side effects and they're able to work while they're being treated. They feel a lot better. The downside is that oral chemotherapy in a lot of states is looked at as a prescription drug as opposed to chemotherapy. So it's being subjected to the copays that you may have on your insurance plan, and there may be limits put on it. So where it's been really great for survivorship, there are some unexpected consequences of it being given in an oral form. So, again, a lot of really great gains, but some other things that we need to work on as well. But the biggest gain, again, is just when you look at the survivorship statistics, it's astounding for a lot of the cancers. When you talk about even children, you know. I'm sorry.
Now, Louise, there's myeloma. Now, is that, from what I did just a little bit of research, that's one of the cancers that are affecting the African American community. Is that correct? Could you give us some statistics around that, please?
I will. And just so people know, too, if you're not aware that most, well, their blood cancers, there is not a way to detect blood cancers early or to prevent them at this time. Something that we're working on, but so that makes it even more important that we do find a cure. So myeloma is probably one of the blood cancers that still has a high mortality rate, and the incidence is about double in the African American population. So you're talking almost 12 people per 100,000 versus the European population. It's about half of that, and right now we don't know why. African Americans are diagnosed at about the median age of 66 years old, and the highest rates are found in African American men, particularly ages 80 to 84. From 2003 to 2007, it was the ninth most common cancer among African American men and seventh among African American women. The good news is that in the 1960s, the survival rate was only 12%. Between 99 and 06, that went up to 38%. It's still totally unacceptable in terms of cure rate, but we've come a long way.
Okay. Interesting. So that's one of the things that keeps coming up in my spaces. Since I've been doing some research this past month, a couple of people have given me and mentioned that to me as well. Louise, if you would, before I open it up to our listeners and the other hosts, can you give us some idea of what kind of resources are available for cancer patients and their families?
Sure. Something else that really helps with survivorship is support, and not only the support of the family, but the support of the team of doctors and nurses and social workers that are working with the patient and their family, and also organizations like ours that have a plethora of different types of resources that are available. So, for example, our organization, we have a website, lls.org. We have a lot of information on there. You can find out information about clinical trials. We offer webinars for patients and their families, as well as the medical profession. We also offer patient financial aid, and we're one of the few organizations that continue to do that for patients. And it's on a non-need basis for the stipend that we offer. We also offer a copay program, which is for patients that actually have insurance but are running into issues with the high rates of copay for some of the drugs that they have to take in the oral chemotherapies. We also offer support groups all over the country. And we also have a program called First Connection. So if someone was really shut in as a result of their disease and they're newly diagnosed and they don't have family around, we can match them with somebody pretty close to the similar diagnosis, age, if they're single, have children, maybe elderly, so that they have some support as they're going through this cancer diagnosis, that they see someone that has come out on the other side of it. And the power of that is unbelievable. So those are just a few things that we offer. There's also the American Cancer Society, cancer.org. And so for other types of cancer, they have a lot of resources on their website as well. And usually once a patient is diagnosed, there's an oncology social worker who gets in touch with them and works with the patient to find and help them find local resources. We do that as well. And so there are a lot of great organizations out there that can kind of layer on top of what the family provides to help the patient have a really great outcome.
Very good. Thank you. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. We're coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio, and our website is www.blacksummit.org. And if you'd like to find out some more information or information around the topics, please come and take a look. Tonight, this is a series of conversations we've been having around cancer, cancer prevention, cancer awareness, and certainly what we're looking to do is to inform you and to give you some resources and some ideas around how to support yourself, support your family members, and to kind of move on forward. We at International Black Summit are about empowerment and about solutions and providing solutions to difficult and confronting questions that face our community. And certainly cancer is one of the things that is facing all communities, but as Louise just stated, there's one particular disease that's actually really impacting our community. Twice as much as the European community. So, host, do you guys have any questions for Louise that you'd like to ask? And I'm also going to ask the our listeners, if you've got any questions, to raise your hand. I see a couple hands raised out there. Any questions,
Glenn,
from the host? Yes.
Glenn.
Go ahead.
Oh. Okay, there's, I think, if you see a 773-548 number.
Eight? Yes.
548?
Yeah, that's Karen?
No, that's Jerry. She's a survivor.
Oh, Jerry, okay.
Right, and she wanted to share some things, you know, she just wanted...
Sure.
When you get to that point, I just wanted you to know that she was on there. But I have a question I'd like to ask our guest. So,
please.
I heard you mention based on your insurance, based on the insurance, it, that determines how many treatments you are able to get. So are you saying that if you need 10 treatments and your insurance will only pay for 5, that's all you will get is that 5?
No. So what I was talking about, Henrietta, is that with a lot of the chemotherapy drugs, some insurance companies will have limits on how much money they will give a patient, how much of the drug they'll pay for. And or they may have a copay program where the copay is so high that even though you have insurance coverage, it's not going to cover the cost of the medication completely, and it's very expensive for the patient. So what we were finding is that some of our patients, instead of taking a pill a day, or they were cutting the pill in half and taking half a pill a day because they thought it was better than nothing. So that wasn't even getting them up to a therapeutic level. So the insurance companies don't typically limit the number of treatments that someone gets, but they, if your drugs are paid for through a prescription drug program, there could be a limit on how much they cover, and also they're going to vary in terms of what your copay is for the drug. And for some of these drugs, the copay can be up over $1,000 a month. It's huge. So that's why we started that program, to try to help patients.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Very good. And any other questions? Jill, I don't see Jill out there. And Jerry's gone. Okay. I'm going to open up the line. 773-548. Go ahead. You're live on the air.
Hello. My name is Jerry. I just wanted to get the name of her organization again. I don't think I actually heard that because I just called in.
It's the Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Okay. Do they support all cancer or just specifically leukemia?
Louise?
It's blood cancer, so it's leukemia, lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease, and myeloma.
Okay.
That's what we work with specifically.
Okay.
And then there's the American Cancer Society who works with the rest of them. Is that correct, Louise?
They work with a lot of different cancers. Their main focus is on prevention and detection for those cancers that can be detected early or prevented. So that's a lot of their focus along with research. So, and then there's other organizations out there that will specialize in particular cancers. So there are a lot of organizations out there, definitely.
Am I still on the air, sir?
Yeah, yes. Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely,
yeah,
sure.
I did get a lot of support, actually. I had cervical cancer, a survivor. I've been told that I'm cancer-free after 2 months, so that's great news. The American Cancer
Congratulations.
Society. Well,
congratulations, right.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, I got that news a couple of weeks ago. But the American Cancer Society was very helpful to me, and they actually ended up providing me with something that I never expected to be provided with, and that's transportation. A lot of times you can get taken to and from the doctor, and that was really important because my hospital facility wasn't really close. And so definitely survivors need or people with cancer need to call the Cancer Society.
Oh, okay. Great. Excellent.
Yeah, that program is called Road to Recovery that they offer.
Okay.
And it is a really great program, and it's all volunteers that drive the patients to treatment, which is really great.
You don't feel like driving yourself, and you can't ask anybody, you know, to take you to the doctor every day. So.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes people can't get out of work to help someone out, so it's an alternative, and definitely has been a really great program for them.
Jerry, would you like to comment in terms of how your mindset was able to carry you through your illness?
Sure. I'd just like to also credit the person. One of the people on the line, Henrietta Bird, was really important in terms of helping me to deal emotionally with the diagnosis. The diagnosis came out of nowhere because just like a lot of other African Americans, there was no one in my family who had cancer, so I certainly never expected to be diagnosed with cancer, although I had been warned 4 years ago that I was precancerous. It is really a pity how much certainly I did, and I'm a well-educated African-American woman, I ignored a precancer diagnosis 4 years ago. We don't take it seriously. We don't think it can happen to us. And so when it does happen, it's like you hit by a truck because you just never thought that anything like that could even happen to you. It's a ridiculous state of mind, but it's the state of mind you're in. So I was really blessed in that I had really powerful symptoms in my cancer because most of the time cervical cancer doesn't really give you symptoms until it's too late to treat. So that I got symptoms, and I was just blessed with symptoms very early on in the cancer. And so people like Henrietta helped me to get to a place where I would get myself treated because a lot of times I even know a woman who, because the treatment is dreadful. A lot of it is very unpleasant. She refused treatment, and she's no longer with us. So Henrietta helped me to get to the place where I just got myself treated so that I could get myself well again.
Good. Excellent. Now, let me ask you another question, Jerry. Was there at any point that diet could have impacted your illness? Is that something that could have been prevented, or was it just more of a early detection process that they were pointing to?
Certainly, it probably would have been more early detection. I think, though, they haven't identified anything in the diet that would change my specific diagnosis, but I will tell you that now I do use a lot of herbal cures. I think maybe some early herbal cures would slow it down. There's some things. I mean, they do believe that the early cancer that I had, stage one, can be treated by diet, but it takes too long, to answer your question. You know, if you limit or if you were to restrict your diet, I mean, even the doctor told me that. They believe you can probably cure it with diet, but it would take too long. So if that goes along with what you're saying, can you prevent it with diet? But they're not sure what substances you need to limit in order to stop it.
Well, the reason I bring that up is that I'm reading a book called The China Study.
Okay.
And one of the things that it talks about is that most of the cancers, the correlation between the cancer and the amount of animal protein and animal fat in your diet. And it points to, now, you know, I haven't completed the book yet, but it points to and suggests that most of the cancers can be prevented or slowed down or even eliminated by reducing the amount of animal protein or animal fat in your diet. So as a general precaution, that's something that maybe people can look at and not wait to get cancer to alter the diet, but begin to alter the diet and the mindset ahead of time as a preventative measure. So I just wanted to kind of engage that a little bit to find out what was so for you.
Well, I probably didn't have a hot diet heavy in that to begin with. I don't know. I think what the other lady can say. The cancers grow in so many different places. I don't know that.
It does.
I don't know that.
I could comment on that.
Go ahead.
With cervical cancer is caused by a virus, so
that's
it's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's it. Look, I wasn't going to say that, but exactly, I had HPV.
But I mean, the good news is that you can get a Pap test and they can detect it really early,
and you're
really fortunate because I had a sister that wasn't so fortunate. So I'm really happy to hear that. And I just think that goes to show that the strides that have been made in, you know, just being able to detect it and to take care of it, people can live a long, productive life, which is really, I mean, the great news. And for the cancers that there are ways to detect it early, it's just to spread the word and just you're talking about
exactly.
It is great.
And if somebody tells you you have pre-cancer, you need to, ladies, you need, if somebody tells you, if you have a bad pap smear, you need to pay attention to that.
You're right, yep. Absolutely.
Don't ignore it, because I did.
Wow. Okay. Well, one of the things that we talk about here at the International Black Summit is about being conscious.
Yeah.
Being awake to what's happening and what's going on, especially going around in your life and certainly in your body. And there are things that we as people of Black African descent have to be very, very cautious about, and that is, as Jerry mentioned, is to be asleep at the wheel when it comes to our health. You know, I know that one of the things as a Black man is that our community, a lot of men don't like to go to the doctor.
That's right.
And I got to say that I'm including myself in that conversation as well. However, I do apply homeopathic medicines, and so I'm not just avoiding the doctor and not being conscious to ways of taking care of myself. But there's certain things in this day and age that we have to be inclusive of and use the tools around us. Louise and Jerry have talked about the early detection capabilities and the kinds of changes that have happened in our community, in society in general, not just in our community, in terms of early detection. So we're finding out a lot sooner, and we're able to do things a lot quicker to turn things around and to make things better. And as Jerry said, she's cancer-free. God bless you, and I'm glad that's able to happen for you, and her warning is very clear: do not disregard warning signs that are pointing to things that are very important to us.
That's right. I think prostate cancer, that other guys might know, is 99% curable if you catch it early enough.
From what I understand too, if you catch breast cancer early enough, you're able to do some things and turn some things around as well.
A couple of things I was thinking about. You know, we were trying that you brought that up, Jerry, about early detection and going to the doctor. And, you know, one of the things that the talk show team, the host, Jerry, Gio, Glenn, and myself, is, you know, we hold each other accountable for our physical well-being. And we've had some conversations about, have you been to the doctor? You know, are you exercising regularly? Are you, you know, like that? And we've had to, you know, on many occasions say no. Tonight we were looking for male cancer survivors, and do you know, I could not find one.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying that everybody has transitioned, but I could not find one.
Wow.
And I called several people. I've been talking to people all month about it, even a couple of weeks before November began. I could not find a male survivor. And so that's interesting to me. You know, it just dawned on me today that people could tell you their friends who had passed away, but there were no survivors out of the group of people that I asked. And it just hit me that they may not have survived it. You know, they may not have, you know, survived it, I guess, like I said. So that's one thing I wanted to say, because there are so many alternative methods of treatment that are available. I mean, even if it's a mind treatment, that's available, that you to do it that way, or the forgiveness work that we do, you know, with people. But the other thing that I wanted to ask Jerry, because Jerry mentioned about her going to get treatment, and Jerry, I wanted to know if you would share with them what was going through your mind, like that. I think it was a Monday, and treatment was supposed to start that Tuesday.
Okay.
And you set up the dates and the treatment and the you know, how they offered you the two different types.
Oh yeah.
And then what was it? If you could like explain all that and then share what it was that had you not want to go that evening.
What Henrietta is describing is the one of the procedures that you get in cancer, cervical cancer, and it was you had to go in the hospital when you. As an inpatient, you have to lay very still for 3 days. And I didn't have a frame of reference. I didn't have any experience that would help me to navigate that experience. That's what it was, Henrietta. I didn't know how to go into the hospital to deal with that.
Okay.
So it was a very tough thing to do.
Yeah.
But it was it's one of the reasons why I'm cancer-free right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You have to do
great.
The difficult things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and oftentimes in life when we're challenged and faced with things, we are being asked to do something different than what we've been doing.
Right.
What got us to this point is not going to get us to where we need to get to.
Mm.
And, you know, And that's in medical terms, spiritual terms, physical terms, all those terms. So we Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. That's what's great.
Yeah. Thank you, Jerry, because it really helped me. Because as you were sharing that, I was thinking about, you know, this is not a physical challenge, but there are other challenges. Actually, that I have right now, there's one that I have, and it is that exact same thing. I don't have a reference point. I've never had to do it before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm hesitating to do it because I've never done it before, and I don't know what it's going to be like. You know, I guess it's that unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. This is, we come to you live on Blog Talk Radio. We've got a couple of callers. I'm going to get to you in a second. We come to you live every Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our website is www.blacksummit.org. This year, actually next year, 2012, annual event is going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. So make sure that you check the website for information. We're also going to have a couple of shares happening. And Jill, if there's anything that you want to share, just jump on. Your mic is open. You know, so we've got some things happening. So stay tuned in because we want to keep you on the pulse of what's happening in our community. I'm going to go to one of the callers now. Caller 708-646. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Karen.
Oh, hey.
Yes,
hi, Karen.
I'm listening. Hi, how are you this evening? Thank you so much, Henrietta. You did a good synopsis of what I talked about.
Okay.
I was very proud.
Well, thank you.
Well, two questions. First, Jerry, welcome to the Survival Group. That was wonderful story that you share with us.
Thank
very
you.
Wonderful. A couple of things, you know, I can identify. When you were talking about going into have your treatment, you had no reference, you know, and that was the same with me when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I had no reference to go back to. I had no family to talk to, and so I was in a totally new arena, you know. And yeah, it is difficult to figure out how to work around it. So I applaud you for that. The second question is for our other guests. She mentioned a website, which is a webinar and information and research. And if she can please recite the website again, because I think it's important that it's shared, you know, for people that's going through any kind of cancer.
Yes, I can. It's lls.org. And that one is specifically for blood cancers. But I would also suggest if people are interested, I would check cancer.org. I think they may be doing the same thing. I'm not absolutely certain, but I think they may have something similar for other types of cancers as well.
Thank you. That was all
You're
I had.
Welcome.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you, Karen, and it's a pleasure to have both you, Jerry, and certainly Louise, who's given us some information and research. I'm going to open up another line. We've got caller 310-346, which I believe is Jakaisha. Is that you, Jakaisha?
Yes, it is. Jakaisha calling in from the New Jersey Greyhound bus station. She's on the move.
Okay.
Yes, I'm just calling in to say I'm enjoying the show. Great information, especially just, you know, letting you know what our people are going through in our community and to hear the strength and, you know, just myself getting new information and, you know, thinking about how am I going through things, you know, what's my treatment, you know. So things like this, finding it very interesting. I've had two very close girlfriends go through cancer and survive. So I'm very happy about that. And interesting in hearing more about how to be support for people, because I know I wasn't clear on how to do that other than, you know, love them, but, you know, definitely want to get better skills in being a support system.
Well, thank you, Shakesha. You know, one of the things that we've talked about on the call tonight, on the show tonight, is we talked about various support groups, and we've talked, you know, my father passed away with cancer as well, and he was the first in the family to have cancer, and so we were sort of surprised at how to deal with it until, you know, but one of the things from my own experience, I must say, is to keep an open dialogue and to keep showing and sharing your love for your family members, and letting them know that you're there for them and that you love them, and find out what they need. The other thing is that we've got a wonderful resource called the Internet. And so there's a lot of information and a lot of groups that can support each other. You know, Louise was talking about that they would set you up with somebody in a similar situation, in a similar circumstance, together. So that's one way of putting together a support group. I think that the other thing is that Henrietta and Jerry talked about supporting within their circle of friends, and so again, you know, we need to look out for all the, you know, whatever it is that we need, and be willing to reach out and maybe even being uncomfortable and make requests of people, because it's really about communicating and requesting what it is we need. Because if I don't tell you what I need, you won't know, and you can't help me and provide it for me. So I think that communication, you know, is a key thing. There's also sometimes there's some embarrassment to say that we have cancer and to share that and that it's not a death sentence anymore. So I think that there are a couple things for us to keep in mind as we move forward, is that for us communicate, get the information that we need, and look for the organizations and the people around us that we need to support us, that are going to support us and give us spiritual food, mental food, and be able to carry us forward. Jerry or Karen, anything? Yes.
Well, no, I just want to add to you that, you know, as much as you, I don't know how you know that, but certainly I had embarrassment around it, which I didn't even understand myself completely, but I don't know. I don't know. I thought I was better than that or something, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a crazy way of thinking. You know, might not like that word, but I was embarrassed by it, yes.
Well, you know.
Glenn, can I share?
Absolutely. Please. This show is for you guys.
Yeah, I guess one thing as far as support is concerned, it's extremely important, and this is Karen, apologies, is that make sure that it's a very positive support. I don't think you know, with the treatments and everything that you're going through, if you have someone that's really just going to kind of keep your spirits down, that's not helpful either.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, that's very that you're absolutely right. Positive support and having a positive conversation around what you're going through, and sometimes it maybe it's just someone who's just going to listen. So you can say everything that you need to say, and they're not going to necessarily even have to respond. You know, but sometimes you need to just say what's going on for you and get
right.
it out.
And not expect a debate or, you know, or anything like that. I mean, I totally agree, Jerry. You know, maybe there was some embarrassment on my part, you know, because I had mentioned that I didn't really realize the support that I needed until mm-hmm. after I went through the major, you know, procedure.
Okay. Yeah. It's,
you know?
It's sort
yeah,
of sad
so
that we feel some kind of personal responsibility.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and
it's not rational. It's irrational.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also we have to realize, you know, if we are, quote, unquote, the strong person in the family.
Well, it'll take all night long for me to talk about that.
Right. But, I mean, that in itself.
We don't have enough time.
Right,
really. We need to.
Right. That
nobody
in itself,
has enough time to get into that right now.
Right.
There ain't enough
no,
time
you're
for
right.
that. I am mm-hmm. the one. I'm the one. I am that Negro, okay? All things for all people. Henrietta, that's why Henrietta's laughing.
Yeah.
I am that one, okay? That doesn't, who, how can she be sick? She's the family.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But then just to, you know, one of the questions with me was, you know, how do you handle it? You know, it's just a matter of being there for whatever they need.
That's right.
Need you to listen, if they just need you to sit, if they don't want you to do anything, I think for me, just knowing that person was there.
Right.
And would be available for whatever I needed, you know, I can call upon that person and not have a whole lot of judgment behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, you said a key point there, and I think that a lot of what our community especially needs to do a lot less of is have judgments, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to embrace and nurture ourselves and our community around going through whatever it is. Is it sickness?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, family disturbances? Family abuse? You know, I mean, all of the violence, you know, the violence, the crimes, you know, all the things that exist. We have to be there for each other in a way
right.
that is supportive, and it is constructive. And it's you know, and it's uplifting, you know, and that's what I hear in your conversations, you know, that, you know, I hear that in order to be a survivor, you have to have that and be able to generate those things for yourself. So you know, I just want to acknowledge you for, you know, what you've gone through and that you're giving it back. You know, you're on this show tonight to give us some of the tidbits and share some of the things that you were up against and how you're able to make it to the other side. So, you know, I'm just in awe of the work that you've done with yourself and also with the companies and programs that, you know, but Louise works for the American Cancer Society, Lymphoma and Leukemia Society, you know, all of the organizations that are out there that are really there for us. So, you know, again, we've got about 30 seconds left before the show is over, and I just wanted to say, you know, utilize the information and the resources that are out there. There are a lot of them. You know, you ladies have shown some courage to come through what you've come through, and we've got the resources of the different societies out there that are providing us with details and information. So, with that, anything, Jerry or Karen, you'd like to share quickly?
No, I don't have anything else to say. Someone else was trying to speak. I just appreciate
you can get help. It's not going to be nearly as bad as you think it is. It will not be what you think it is. It won't be a death sentence. The state will help you. You will get the help you need.
Very good.
Yeah. Can we give the oxygen number so we can move this conversation to the oxygen room and we can continue it? Because I would really like to hear a little, just a little bit more from everyone if we can. The oxygen room is a conference call number that we go to when our show gets real interesting right at the end, which is what is occurring right now.
I don't have the number in front of me because I'm not.
I have it.
Okay.
Okay, Jerry, I guess Jerry's not here, but it's 218.
Uh-huh.
No, the other Jerry. 218-862-6420. 218-862-6420. And then the access code is 797-4834-pound. 797-4834-pound. Did everybody get it?
Just say it one more time, please.
Okay.
218-862-6420.
Okay.
And access number is 797-4834.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. And I just want to thank again our guest, Louise Pop, Deputy Director from Lymphoma Leukemia Society, for coming on and sharing information with us. And please join us in the oxygen room one more time. 218-862-6420. Access code is 797-4834-pound. Peace, love, and blessings.
And we salute the veterans. We overlooked it last week, but wanted to mention our love to all of the veterans.
All right.
That have fought for our freedom.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. See you in the oxygen room.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.